And so you just have to trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But it just fits. About midweek, the Lord moved upon my heart to share something with you. Again, always looking to strengthen, encourage your journey, your walk. And I want to start this morning by asking you to think for a moment or two. I want to challenge you who you personally, on a regular basis, surround yourself. Who is the audience that you put focus on, who you listen to, who you draw counsel from, who are the main sources that you go to for encouragement and comfort. And then I want to tell you something. No two people were raised the same way. We all tease here, I'm a Michigan State fan, we've got a lot of Michigan fans. It just doesn't happen that you're a Michigan State fan or a Michigan fan or whatever fan you are in how you were raised and your surroundings and what you heard. And it's no different when you bring that down to spirituality. The Bible says, and the principle is, we are what we eat. In other words, how we look is basically how we eat. But it's also spiritually. What we believe is based on what we've heard and heard and heard and heard. And my role as a pastor here is to encourage you to get out of your traditions and to get out of what maybe how you were raised, if there's the areas you raised are not surrounding yourself with wise counsel. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 37. You don't need to pick to it, but it says, the mouth of righteous men and women of God will speak wisdom. And they will also release a tongue of justice. King Solomon was asked, as he became the king and David relinquished his title in King Solomon, the Lord came to him. Now remember in the old covenant, the Lord would speak to prophets, kings, and priests. Now, he wanted to speak to everybody, but we abdicated that because we were fearful. So he ended up speaking to kings, priests, and prophets. And he came to Solomon, he said, what would you like as you're taking this role of a king? Because I'll give you anything you ask. And Solomon thought, and this is what he said, I just want spiritual wisdom and knowledge so I can be the best overseer possible to help your people. And it astounded. Now, I say astounded God. I know God's all-knowing. But it said he was astounded. And he said, Solomon, you could ask for the riches of the land. You could ask that I just keep you from all your enemies. And on and on and on. But you were desiring wisdom to help others. And God says, I'm going to give you that prayer request, but I'm also going to add the rest. I'm going to add the riches. I'm going to add to keep you from your enemies and so forth. See, the significance of what I'm saying this morning, church, is this. We become who we listen to, who we allow to be our encouragement, who allows us to receive wisdom. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of stuff being said out there is not spiritual wisdom. And if you hear it long enough, you're going to start believing it. And if you believe it, it could be devastation to your life. So bear with me this morning as I share how important it is that you stay surrounded. Do you know that when you get into Ephesians 6 and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, feet shod, preparation of gospel of peace, shield of faith. Do you know all of that's the Word? The whole armor of God is based on the Word of God. If we are surrounding ourselves with people that are not spiritually based on the Word of God, you're going to get counsel that's not based on the Word of God.
Right.
I am only one voice. You are one voice. That's why it says this in Proverbs chapter 4. You can just listen if you want to. I think I put it in your guidelines. I used to have brand new Christians. I would tell them, there's 30 books in Proverbs. Every day, if you want a way to start to get wise, read one chapter a day. And then the next month, do it again. Faith cometh by hearing. It's full of ways that will help your life be a blessing. It will help you receive counsel from the Lord. And this is what in Proverbs 4, picking up at verse 5. Get wisdom and you'll get understanding. Do not forsake the wisdom and the understanding. Love it. Love her. Wisdom is the principal thing. When you get wisdom, you will get understanding. And then it goes on in chapter 11, verse 14, it says, where there's no spiritual counsel, the people are going to fall. But in a multitude, say multitude with me. Multitude. It doesn't say in one or two, in a multitude of wise counsel, there's safety. Our lives are protected not because I have all the counsel, but we have the counsel. And if you do not allow your lives to be filled with wise counsel, you will not be wise. Now, I smile because when I was putting this message together, I told Lynn I was going to say something like how to stay smart and not fall stupid. But then I remember the Currys and Davises don't like their kids to hear that word stupid. But the reality is, if we're not getting wise counsel, we stay stupid. Now, we may think we're wise, but what we're listening to and who we're sitting under does not have your best good. That's right. But we know who does. And that's why the Bible throughout Scripture, Proverbs 13:20 says, those who will walk with wise men and women will be wise. 15:22 says, without counsel from wise men and women, your plans are going to go awry. In the counsel of a multitude, your plans are established. 20 verse 18 says, by wise counsel, we then decide to wage war. All through Scripture, the Lord Jesus, that's old covenant, we get into the new covenant, and Paul is saying, don't fall for the wisdom of the world. He says, they think the cross is foolishness. You have got to surround yourself with wise counsel. That's why church, the Bible says in Psalms 92:13, get planted in the house of the Lord so that you will flourish in the courts of your God, so you'll still be bearing fruit as you get older. Why? Because you're surrounded with wise counsel. I'm not going to try and step on anybody's toes this morning, and I'm not trying to make this political, because many times it becomes that way. I'm here to enforce your life. There's a way to stay strong and to be in a place where you will have life and life more abundantly. I'm telling you what, if you'd have had what happened to Pastor Mike and accidentally run in and someone dies, who would be your counsel? Who would you be reaching out? Who would be praying for the other family? And I'm telling you, there's significance, church, in staying surrounded.
Thank you, Lord.
With those that will have your good at stake.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says, because of man's traditions. Now, we are now in a place where it's not the same as yesteryear. God is the same today as he was yesteryear. He is the Lord God that changes not. His counsel will stay and be wise. And it doesn't matter where we have come now as a nation, and now it's acceptable for this or that. The only thing that's acceptable is the wisdom that comes from God. And everything else is a counterfeit.
Amen.
So as believers, nobody forces you into your circles. How many times this pastor got up here and said, I'm encouraging. You can't just on a Sunday morning. You can't ask questions. How are you gonna grow and know? How can you get intimate and ask? Well, I'm dealing with this. Office is open all week. We have people stop in and we become transparent and we work through things. But not everybody can do this. So we encourage you, get connected to other believers so you can get real. And share real issues so you can get counsel. Not that you take what somebody says as gospel, but it says in a multitude. That means a lot more than one. A lot more than two. In a multitude of counsel, there is safety. I'm telling you what, this is a day and an hour. We need to stay in safety.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of things out there the enemy's trying to deceive and to kill us in areas of our lives. Look with me if you have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 2. Right after the Gospels, we go into the Epistles. Colossians chapter 2. Look at what Paul is telling the church of Corinthians in this book. Beginning down around verse 2. Your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, which was demonstrated this morning. Attaining to the richness and the fullness of the understanding of the knowledge and the mystery of God by Father and of Christ, which has been hidden, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not that I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to you. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, walk in him, be rooted and built up in him. Establish yourself in the faith. Be abounding to give thanksgiving, because this is what the word of God says. Beware, lest there be those that will cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And yet in the Christian circles, Christians are surrounding themselves with worldly people that don't even know the Lord. You know, I use Christian Broadcasting Network statistics of 95% of the media out there are atheists or agnostic. They're not believers. You cannot take what they say as truth, because outside of Christ, people deceive and to lie. You'll know a tree by its fruit. Amen. So I encourage Christians, don't get locked into listening to nightly news if all it is to destroy the very principles of heartbeats. We have to come to the place where we believe what the Word says and not what tradition is trying to teach us it's okay now. Amen. We love the world, but we do not become part of the world. We pray the world into the kingdom, because it's in the kingdom that we get the wisdom that sets people free. And when we know the truth makes us free. We are what we are because of where we've allowed ourselves to be surrounded with. I tell people here all the time, they say, Pastor, I'm not sure this is where I need to go to church. It's okay, but get in a church. Right. Surround yourself with those that love you and will tell you the truth. And many times I've encouraged people when they tell me where they're living to get into a place where you can be faithful. Everybody say faithful. Hebrews says in the last day, most are going to forsake coming together. Christians are hurting Christians and getting offended, and so they take it out on God by disconnecting from the body. And you've heard me say many times, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, we have the mind of Christ. It does not say, I have it. It says, we have it. Now, I've been challenged. Oh, Pastor, when the Scripture says we have it, that means every believer has it. Well, then why did Paul go on in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and say, if you are only an eye, you're going to be out of whack. You need the hand, the foot, you need all the parts. In fact, even the parts you deem less important are very valuable to stay balanced in wise counsel. That's right. I have not arrived. I bounce and I surround my life with godly people that will keep me sharp, and I may not always agree with them, but if they're spiritual, I'm going to listen to what they say because it could change me.
Amen. Good word.
And the only one that's perfect is Jesus. But Christians get hurt and they pull away, and the next thing you know, they're not getting counsel from people that are in love with God, that are into the Scriptures and giving them truth. They're going by what they've heard. Well, you know, this or that, because now most is this and that. It's kind of like this. For the longest time, people say, oh no, I'm an atheist, I'm into facts. I said, oh, you are, huh? And they'll base their facts on us. A few years ago, back in the 70s, when they began to kill babies in the womb, Gonna step on probably some toes. Hopefully not. They say, "Oh no, it's just a fetus. That's not real life. Don't worry about it." And then the facts came out, and they put together a film of a little baby fighting for its life in the womb, so it didn't get killed. And you should have saw the outcry of the world. "Don't you show that! Take that away!" The fact was, and now it's coming out to confirm, that life started the moment God created it. And so we're fighting and everything. And well, but we're at this place. This isn't a thing about women's rights or women. This is about the rights of a life that God has created. And we do pray for the mothers because there's a horrendous guilt that they go through. But I'm telling you, the fact is, that's a baby. And if we've been only in environments, oh, yes, yes, we miss out. Some of you are following, and you found out that that woman that was hid from the truth in one of the biggest abortion mills in Texas, all of a sudden, mistakenly, now the movie came out unplanned, she got inside and saw what it was all about, and she immediately cried, repented, and changed. And since that time, as I speak, over 600 people employed by Planned Parenthood have gotten in and seen the truth, and they're no longer saying that that's good. They're all running from it. So our prayers are causing the things. And someone today said, "Did you hear the largest abortion mill? I don't know where it was. It's closing down because they can't staff it because people are seeing the truth. And when you know the truth sets us free." And why I like that movie is because it showed Christians not beating up the mothers that were going in, but praying for them, encouraging them, letting them know these are precious lives. So now the thing is, well, but we should now and all in the schools, we should not decide whether they're boys or girls. They should wait till they get older and then decide what gender they are. And now the fact comes out that that gender is determined by the DNA and whatever chromosomes you got in your body. I don't care if you got feminine or masculine tendencies, you are still whatever it says you are. No matter what they're trying to portray out there, God does not make accidents. Amen. So the facts, if we want to argue it, protects the Word of God. And the Word of God says He knew us, He loves us, and He's got our good. And we're going to win people to Him by loving them, but staying surrounded with wise counsel.
Amen.
I'm not on Facebook, church, for a reason. I don't want to see anything you guys put out there that's just stupid. That's not word-based, it's feelings-based. A number of years ago, my wife and I, some of you remember, we date ourselves. We were tired of Christians complaining. So we hooked up with a candidate running for president called Pat Robertson, a lover of God. Finally, I was tired of listening. And I'm going to make this declaration right now. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm for the God-filled men and women, whoever will show me the fruits of what they're standing up for.
Come on.
Because I'd had it. We rallied churches. We went into every little sector of people and we tried to get Christians to become delegates. Quit complaining. Make a difference. And it about killed the Christian circles because they got in and saw how dirty politics were. Oh, it was bad. I mean, I had Christian brothers and sisters from other churches come and say, "I'm getting out of here. This is terrible. This is terrible." And then we'd find some that said they were Christian and said, "Yeah, we're white supremacists. We believe only people that are blue-eyed." And I'm thinking, "And you're a Christian?" I mean, it was real complex. So just because someone says they're a Christian or they say they go to church, are they studying the Word of God? Are they growing in the truth of the Word? Are they seeking counsel from other godly people? So you got balance. So that particular convention, if any of you go back, we rumped because there was such dissension in it. We ended up having our own conference. Well, that was nice. But I am so tired of people saying, "Yeah, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-life." They get into position and they don't do anything to change anything. That's what the nation is upset about. We say, finally, we got someone in there that's going to say what we want. They get in there, do diddly squat because they get bought. God bless Pat Robertson. Gave up that up to get in there. He's still kicking. I told my wife, I don't think anybody that's very strong believer could run for the office. Because it's hard to tell the truth when they want to twist it and make you out to be a clown. The message of the cross to those 95% of all those media outlets that are atheists think it's silliness and stupid to think that Jesus died, went into a grave, rose again, and they make fun of it. So you, brothers and sisters, don't fall into the mistake of, well, I was raised this way, so that's the way I am. Get out of your boxes.
Yes, sir.
Somebody just shared with me not too long ago, and I hear it when I talk to pastors. Pastors are telling me, they says, I want out of my box, pastor, help me, help me. So I'm giving him ideas and encouragement. He says, it's harder than you think. It is hard to get out of traditional boxes that people put you into.
Yes, sir.
But it's freeing.
And
this brother said something like this: you don't even know you're in a box until you get free. And when you get free, you don't want to go back in.
Come on.
I'm not an idiot to think everybody needs to come to Shield of Faith. I do believe everybody needs to get into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Challenging different people, they got upset and left. I says, did I say anything that was destructive to your family? Oh, no, Pastor, we love you. Did I say anything that might have stepped on your toes? Well, you might have stepped on toes, but that's not why we're... That's our heartbeat. How to help people get wiser. I'm one counsel. I used to have parents come and say, oh, Pastor, you're in Hemlock. Man, that's a good school because my kids are safe because they got a Christian teacher. I have your kid 40-some minutes in the course of 8 hours. You better check out some of the other places that they're getting their information from, too. Because I'm telling you, if they're not surrounded with wise counsel or if they're not raised up understanding the principles of God, they get very easily aligned or misaligned into believing stupid stuff. We've got to help free the world. And that's why we're prayer warriors. That's why my challenge to you is... I don't know who you hang with. I know who's connected to cell groups that are getting more counsel from others. But I know the ones that end up having a whole lot of issues and take a lot of stupid stances are ones that are not surrounded with people that's giving them wise counsel. I always identified with King Arthur. King Arthur had his round table. And this is what I always loved because I believed his round table was like it had a spiritual oversight. All his knights would come to this round table, including King Arthur, and they would all lay their swords down and they would all have counsel. And in a multitude of this council, they would make decisions on behalf of England. I'm thinking, wouldn't that be beautiful? Instead of listening to the world, we listened to the talk of Christian, spiritual men and women of God in our lives. I always get a kick out of, believe I don't want, I'm not going to listen to Joel Osteen. One time, they were saying all he talks about, he never mentions Jesus. So my wife and I tracked it and sit down. 15, 20 times he mentioned Jesus. There's so much jealousy in the body of Christ. Our goal is not to get everybody here. Our goal is to get people closer to him.
Yep.
We need to get people connected, and that's the best counsel you could do, is encourage people to get connected so you have a multitude of wise counsel in your life so that there is safety and you don't get in a ditch. I've seen people that knew a lot of the Word of God get upset and isolate themselves, and over the course of time, they got in the other ditch. Well, this is the only truth, and if you don't teach my truth... That's not what the Bible says needs to be connected. Remember when I shared the concept of cross-pollination? Do you think there's any accents how God created the earth? And I shared this on Good Friday, but you need to hear it if you weren't here. If you got a peach tree and that's the only kind of peach tree you got, you're not going to have good fruit. Because you got to have other varieties of peach trees to be cross-pollinated, and then the fruit is strong. It's no different in Christian life. It's like what I shared about the sequoia trees. 350 feet tall, but they only go 5 to 6 feet into the ground, but they spread 100 feet and they intertwine with others. We're referred to throughout the scriptures as trees. We need to be intertwined with other wise men and women of God. So we don't topple every time the storms of life or the traditions or the progressive agenda comes our way. We are strong because we are hooked up with other believers. And if we get out of whack, someone's going to tell us something that's going to help us get back on track. That was it. My wife and I, now she ended up being township, what were you, township? They were astounded in our Marion Springs. She went to everybody's house, every trailer way back, whatever. They said, just because you came here, nobody else has been here, we're going to vote for you. She beat out a longtime resident of that community because, well, I got to do my part. So she says, honey, you got to run for school board. And I think, oh, do I have to? I don't want to run for school board. I ran for Merrill School Board. I got defeated. Thank you, Jesus. But she was still pushing. I did my part. I don't want to become political. I want to give people truth. I want to encourage them around truth. Because truth is what makes us free.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. But we hung in there. So whenever I see Christians complaining about whoever, I think, get in there. Don't just go by what somebody is saying. See who they're surrounding their life with. If you're watching a network, how often do they involve God? How many times do you see a network that's having Bible studies? How often do you have someone says, God bless you, and may Jesus just fill your life? I don't hear it, folks, because I do bounce back to see if there's anybody getting a breakthrough. No, we're going to send you our energy. I thought, Pastor Mike, when you called, I'm just sending you my energy. Sending you my energy. I'm going to stand and fight the good fight and stand with you and pray down the strongholds and let you know, brother, Jesus is going to work us through this. I don't need someone's energy. I need someone's truth. I need people standing with me, praying and uplifting. I need people saying, Pastor, I love what God's doing here. I'm standing with you. I may not agree all the time with everything you say or do, but I'm standing. And having done all, you got all the armor on, so all the word of God, having done all, I'm still standing. Why? Because it's not just about me. I'm getting the counsel from godly people. I go to a men's group every week, and I've gone for years to a men's group, not because I'm obligated. I do it because I need to. Amen. We're always teasing different guys that are strong-willed. We need you to continuously be strong-willed because you're created that way, and we glean from one another because iron sharpeneth iron. If you get in the trap of saying, I know everything, and anybody that disagrees with me is wrong, you're in a danger of being in the ditch on the other side. You need to be able to bounce it off believers that can tell you what they think when you're making a decision.
Amen.
I tell people sometimes they ask me for my opinion, they don't like it. I come back and say, I'm sorry, mine is only worth 2 cents. Yours is 2 cents. We get 50 opinions, we're probably going to have a buck. I don't have all the answers. I know he does. So I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing. And you're going to bounce it off other Christians. We're going through revelations now in the cell group that I am. We get so many ideas that come through, but we love it. We love it. Why? Because you're hearing an angle you may not have thought of. And you're seeing something. I'm telling you, the healthiest thing you can do is stay connected with believers.
Amen.
James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you liberally. And he won't chew you out. Ask liberally, and he won't chew you out. Now, I paraphrased it a little bit. But he says he'll give it to us with abundance. This is what he says about the wrong kind of wisdom, though. 1 Corinthians 1. says this. I'm picking up at verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. The Lord says this. This is what we're dealing with, church, and this is what you're dealing with if you only surround yourself with atheists and people that do not have the truth in their heart. People can say they have, but you will know that tree by its fruit. I will destroy, this is God, the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not the God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through foolishness of the message preached to save those who would believe. Verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, believers, or brethren, not many are called according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chooses the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wisdom of the world. And God chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the insignificant, yours may say base, things of the world and the things which despises God has chosen. In other words, if we are not surrounded by spiritual counsel, you're surrounded by foolish counsel. That's not based on anything except their feelings and not much more. So, as we leave today, my challenge to every believer in here, don't just come to church on Sundays. Get connected to a small group of believers or get connected to a couple. We're not threatened here. Someone says, well, if I go to another Bible study, does that make me not shield the faith? No. We're challenging all believers to get connected so that you can bounce things off. And if you're going through a tough thing, you can ask them, what do you think? I always like when someone says, Pastor, what do you think? I said, well, let me think on that. And I'll give them my counsel. I'll say, that's one counsel. Are you bouncing that off others? Just because I'm pastor of the church doesn't make me smarter. I know it might be cute, but seriously. Just because you're saved, just because you know something, doesn't make you ahead of others. But if you are after God, you're somebody that needs to be around others after God. Because you're going to be the one that's going to have the clearest picture of the answer that people need. Because your choices are not going to be made just on you. To this day, I have a father. He's in his 90s now. I call him on things to get his counsel. I bounce it off our staff meeting people all the time. They know we come together. And whether it's Pastor Lisa or Chap or Pastor Mike or others, Pastor Colleen, when she's able to connect. What do you think? What do you think? It's not like, this is the only way we're going to do it and follow our orders. No. We get, okay, this is happening. Is this a way we can get better with a nursery? Oh, we need overflow. And so we get better by listening and focusing on those that love God, and they're going to give us good counsel.
Yes, sir.
So I close this morning by telling you that I am not Democrat. I am not Republican. And I am warm. Oh my gosh. Jeez. I am not Republican. I'm one of you. We're the deplorable bunch that are willing to take what the Word of God and stand and make our stance on thus saith God and not what the agendas are out there are trying to get us to believe. You are mighty men and women of valor. You may be deplorable to the world, but I'm telling you what, you're precious in the sight of God.
Yes, yes.
And we do make a difference. And the strongholds are coming down. And the crime is dropping in our city. And the church is coming together. I prayed with a father from a Catholic priest that came to pray the National Day of Prayer. And as I was meeting him, he got lost in the parking lot. He says, "It doesn't look like it's going on." I says, "Brother, who are you?" We introduced, "Oh, pastor or priest, father," I called him. I says, "Come on, let's go on in." "No, they have it inside when it's going to rain." We had a delightful conversation all the way in. I said, "Do you remember Father Bob Burns?" "Oh, yes, he just retired. We did an ecumenical service together with him." He says, "I was the only Protestant that ever did a homily." He said, "Well, great. We built a bridge." And then we had a powerful time in that chamber praying for our nation.
Amen.
And knowing that's my brother.
Yes.
And I'm his brother.
Amen.
And break that stronghold that keeps us apart. But make sure we're surrounding ourselves with those that are after the truth. Because when you know the truth does what? It's not just sets you free, it says it makes you free. And I'm telling you what, I don't want to go into a box. The reason why we're non-denomination is not because we hate denominations. I don't want to be in any line of this is the only thing you can think of. I want to be a Christian that's able to love wherever people go to church and call Jesus Christ their Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand, let's pray. Grab a hold of that hand on your left or right, or surround your family. Father God, we have come right now to embark upon the mission field as we leave today. We thank you for the power of agreement. Father, I thank you for the wise counsel that not only is located here at Shield of Faith, but it's located in homes that are viewing this day. And I pray, Father God, that you will speak to the hearts of my brothers and sisters to begin to reach out and to connect with other believers that will have a like passion for truth. I pray, Father, if there are those that have been isolated, that you will bring strong believers into their lives that they can connect with. And Lord, I thank you that there's safety. And Father, I do thank you for all that you've released today here and those that are viewing. And I pray if there's anyone listening that's not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, that right now that you'll open up your heart and say, "Jesus, I need you as the Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. Take it and help me, Lord. I'm sorry." And the Lord says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you become lukewarm and you've fallen away, just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm getting back up. I'm standing back up. And I'm getting back hooked up with believers that will keep me on the straight and narrow." And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. And we thank you for the healing that's released upon each and every person that's come today believing for a miracle in their bodies, in their lives, in their minds. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greet one another. Love on one another. Encourage one another.